This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
A deadly stampede. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Friday, April 30th, glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Dozens were killed earlier today at a religious festival in northern Israel when people in a packed crowd fell down a staircase and crushed each other.
President Biden is pitching his giant spending proposals, but would so much government muscle create negative side effects? We'll have analysis.
On the business front, the U.S. economy grew sharply in the first quarter, the job market continues rebounding, and Amazon is soaring.
And filing a final tax return when a family member dies.
When it comes to especially filing the final return for a deceased relative, and that final return typically falls on the executor, and then if either isn't named, then it's taken over by the survivor of the deceased. And those survivors aren't only just stressed out about the complicated tax paperwork, but they're also in mourning.
Jessica Menton at USA Today on death and taxes in a pandemic year. Dozens of people have been killed and more than 100 injured after a stampede at a religious festival earlier today in northern Israel. Details from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Witnesses and video indicate the stampede began when large numbers of people were passing through a narrow tunnel-like passage. People began falling on top of each other near the end of the walkway as they descended slippery metal stairs. Afterwards, photos showed rows of wrapped bodies lying on the ground with dozens of ambulances at the site. Efforts are still underway to identify victims. Overnight, cell phone coverage around the region had collapsed for hours, and emergency hotlines were overwhelmed with phone calls. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. The festival typically draws tens of thousands, mostly ultra-Orthodox Jews, who gather to honor a rabbi from the second century. Large crowds traditionally light bonfires, pray, and dance as part of the celebrations. President Biden is on the road to highlight his administration's work. In its first 100 days, he spoke at a drive-in rally in Duluth, Georgia yesterday, one day after laying out another massive spending proposal called the American Families Plan. His speech also noted what he wants to do in the future to address infrastructure.
No reason why the blades for windmill turbines can't be built in Pittsburgh instead of Beijing. There's no reason that American workers can't lead the world in the production of electric vehicles.
The trip to Georgia is the first step in a nationwide blitz by Mr. Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris to promote the American Jobs Plan and the American Families Plan, the administration's multi-trillion dollar proposals to invest in infrastructure, health care, and education. The president hopes to pay for the investments by increasing the corporate tax rate and increasing taxes on the wealthy. He was briefly interrupted by protesters calling for the end of detention centers and the abolishing of Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Well, President Biden, fresh off a victory on a large stimulus package, is pitching another $4 trillion in spending to make bold investments in the nation's physical infrastructure and human capital in an effort that he says will spur growth, create a more equitable economy, and make us more competitive with China without any negative side effects. But Heather Long, economics reporter at The Washington Post, says it's an experiment that has not been tested in the modern U.S. economy. Heather, explain.
Well, the administration's really just going full force, bold. Let's spend a ton of money to do all these investments, both on infrastructure and on things like having daycare for all kids and having parental leave for all Americans that they feel has been lacking for 30-plus years. Basically, let's catch America up with Europe and other parts of the world, and let's hopefully go even beyond what some of those places are doing. Mm. And the reason I call it a bet is they're basically saying all these concerns about inflation or this would lower growth or it's too much spending, those are all, you know, basically bollocks, and we should ignore them, and because the value and the benefits of doing this far outweigh any potential cost.
Wow. We always, I think, hear that case made when the government proposes to spend. But the risks here, I guess, are greater with regards to inflation in some cases.
Yeah, that's the number one risk. And it's so hard because inflation, I always think of like termites. It's not something you realize right away. It can take years before you realize that this pesky thing like a termite has been eating away. But by the time you realize it, it's often too late. And nobody's sort of predicting we would have double-digit inflation like in the 70s, but certainly to get to some point like a 3 or 4 or 5% sustained inflation would be really problematic for the U.S. economy. So nobody's saying we're going to get there this summer or even next year, but that's the risk. And that's why, in hindsight, historians are going to have a great time with Biden. He's either going to look like a genius, you know, who was able to do all these big transformations, something that will be called a 21st century New Deal type program, or he's going to look like a doofus who did all of these programs that ended up putting the economy in the toilet. It's sort of one or the other, and we don't know what will happen.
Yeah, you said in the story, we're kind of seeing signs of overheating in some areas, right, that with prices up, say, for cars, for example.
Oh, yeah. If you have been trying to buy either a new or especially used car right now, or even rental cars, or there's all the prices have shot up over 10% almost in most of those markets compared to where you were last year. And it's not just that. Obviously, people have been watching the housing market with sort of their jaws down as prices continue to skyrocket every month in the housing market that are up basically 10% or more in most areas. So there's definitely a lot of overheating. The question is it temporary? You heard Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell use that magic word, transitory. You know, it's all short term. It's all going to get sorted out in a few more months. But again, that's another big question mark. We don't know if it's going to play out that way or not.
We're speaking with Heather Long, economics reporter at The Washington Post. Her piece is called Biden's Big Bet. He can remake the economy without any negative side effects. How about, too, the argument that at this point the government is trying to take care of you from the cradle to the grave with all these proposals? Has that been asked, or have they responded to something like that?
They have. I mean, there's definitely a philosophy in the Biden White House that the era of Ronald Reagan is over. The era of small government is over. And they feel that the American public wants this. They point to polls like one that the Washington Post and ABC News just came out with over the weekend that are showing the lowest support for small government since we started asking that question in the 1980s. So we're looking at a 30-year low in support for small government, and more people, particularly people under 40. It's like a generational divide. So younger people, non-white people, really support a larger role, a more European-style role for the government in society and in people's daily lives.
All right, how about the politics of this? $2.3 trillion proposed for infrastructure, another $1.8 trillion for this American Families Plan. The politics here will be difficult for him.
Amen. This is going to be really hard. You heard a lot of clapping at that, whatever they want to call it, speech, you know, the fake State of the Union address. But you're right. The key, they need all Democratic senators to do this. And you already heard Senator Joe Manchin, that key swing vote from the senator from West Virginia. He already is telling the Washington Post, you know, within minutes of this speech happening, this big announcement, that he does not support, for instance, the corporate tax increase going to 28%. That's too dramatic, or the doubling of the capital gains tax. So Biden has tried to signal that he's open to negotiation.
Thanks, Heather. Heather Long, economics reporter at The Washington Post. Coming up next, a new voting bill advances in Florida. When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you're talking to someone who isn't waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud, and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Ask Dell. Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Friday. The Florida legislature has passed a bill that adds new rules for voting by mail. Republicans, who maintain strong majorities in both chambers of Florida's legislature, toned down some parts of the bill compared with earlier proposals. before passing the measures mostly along party lines. The passage drew criticism from Democrats like Representative Tracy Davis of Jacksonville, who said the legislation wasn't needed after Florida held a generally smooth election in November.
This bill, this amendment, is a slap in the supervisors of elections' faces after an election that you say, we say, was one of the best we've had.
Republicans said the new rules were guardrails against fraud and would not curb access to the polls. The legislation requires that drop boxes are manned by election workers and used only during a county's early voting hours, with the exception of secure boxes at county election supervisors' offices. Among other things, the bill also includes more identification requirements for voters requesting a mail-in ballot. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A stampede at a religious festival attended by tens of thousands of ultra-Orthodox Jews in northern Israel killed at least 44 people and injured about 150 early today. The stampede began when large numbers of people pushed through a narrow tunnel-like passage during the event. People began falling on top of each other near the end of the walkway as they descended slippery metal stairs. It was one of Israel's deadliest civilian disasters.
Number two.
President Biden took his pitch to Georgia last night for $4 trillion in spending to rebuild the nation's aged infrastructure and vastly expand the federal social safety net, choosing a new political battleground to make his case that Americans want a more activist government.
Created in the first 100 days, 1,300,000 new jobs. 1,300,000 jobs in 100 days. That's more new jobs in the first 100 days of any president in history.
With his visit to his state, he won by fewer than 12,000 votes. Biden set out to build public support for his plan and try to persuade resistant Republicans that his massive proposal is an investment that the country can't afford to pass up.
Number three.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio has set out a plan to fully reopen the city's bars, restaurants, and tourist sites this summer.
It's time to set a goal for a full reopening of New York City. And that goal is July 1st. We are ready to bring New York City back fully.
De Blasio says Broadway shows might take more time because they had been aiming for a September return. India's coronavirus cases climbed again today, prompting the army to open up its hospitals in a desperate bid to control a massive humanitarian crisis created by an acute shortage of beds, medicine, and oxygen. India now has reported more than 18.7 million cases since the pandemic began, second only to the U.S. There have been 3,500 deaths in the last 24 hours.
With the first pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Trevor Lawrence, quarterback Clemson.
Little suspense at the beginning of the NFL Draft as quarterbacks went 1-2-3 after Lawrence, BYU's Zach Wilson went to the Jets and North Dakota State's Trey Lance to the 49ers. Overall, Alabama dominated the selections the way it overpowered college football.
Man, Goodell gets booed every time. Every time he steps to them, no matter what he's coming to say. I love you all. Boo. Yeah. Coming up next, one sure way to wreck your job interview.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Indeed. When you're hiring, there's no luxury of time. So instead of waiting for people to see your sponsored post, invite them to apply. More at indeed.com/credit. As more Americans return to the workforce, many may be out of practice with a job interview, whether in person or through a Zoom call. Here's how to avoid saying and doing the wrong things from Jackie Ducci, founder of Ducci Associates, a recruiting firm. Jackie, what do you recommend?
Well, first of all, I can't believe some of the crazy things that actually happen. One thing that I've seen a lot over the course of my career, and I can't believe I have to say this out loud, but don't flirt with your interviewer. This is something that's happened a lot to the girls that I work with. It's happened to my clients. And I think candidates sometimes come in and like they think it's a way to kind of connect or build a connection with someone. And it just comes off as wildly inappropriate.
Wow.
So that's a big one.
So you kind of cited some horror stories that you've been through. Who was the one woman who talked about she was excited to start working there because all her ex-boyfriends worked there, and she wanted to see the look on their faces when she showed up?
Yeah, I mean, different things like that happen all the time, and it always amazes me that people don't have a better sense of just not being outlandish like that, but it does happen. There are some more subtle things, too. Like, I think, you know, if you go into an interview and you're asked, you know, why do you want this job? And you just say, oh, well, I'm looking for anything because, you know, I've been laid off during COVID or whatever. That's also really unattractive. It comes across a little desperate. So something to avoid for sure. You should always explain why you want that job and not just that you're out there looking for anything.
Okay. And I guess to drill down deeper, I mean, reasons might be what? You don't want to say, I need the money, but are you looking for a challenge or it's a new path or something like that?
Anything like that. Yeah. I mean, you have to think from the employer's perspective. They're concerned about retention. So they don't just want someone to fill the seat. They want someone to fill the seat, hopefully for as long as possible. So if you can explain why you want to be with that company long term, why you think it's a great fit, that's like music to the ears of any executive or hiring manager.
Well, we're speaking with Jackie Ducci. She's the founder and CEO of Ducci Associates, a recruitment firm with offices in West Palm Beach, Florida, and also Connecticut. We're talking about how to avoid bombing on your job interview. What else do you think folks should keep in mind? Is this a different landscape?
Yes and no. I mean, I still think all the standard traditional advice applies. I mean, if I look over the course of my career, when people quote unquote bomb, it's usually the same mistakes over and over again. I don't know that it's any different now because we're kind of coming post pandemic. I think it's the same stuff. I really do.
And then soft skills, are they playing any more of a role these days? Shaking hands, eye contact, is that more important now or the same as it always was?
Well, I mean, now so many of these interviews are happening virtually, so I think people that are pretty skilled at interviewing through Zoom or Skype are tending to do better in the process and kind of get the attention of these hiring managers sooner. So that's something I encourage everybody to kind of practice. It's a whole different game when you're doing this through a computer screen than when you're one-on-one. It can actually be harder. So practicing that, you know, getting comfortable being on the camera and all that can help a lot.
Thanks, Jackie. Jackie Ducci, founder of Ducci Associates, a recruitment firm. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. In the sport of business, we're all players. And with the game always changing, you need to be versatile. So does your wardrobe. You want both style and comfort to look as good as you feel inside the office or out. That's what Cuts Clothing is all about. Cuts Clothing keeps you sharp wherever the game takes you, from the boardroom to the bar to the gym. How? They reinvented men's clothing, starting with the t-shirt. Their Pika Tri-Blend fabric is buttery soft, wrinkle-free, and keeps its shape. Everything I've worn from Cuts is next-level comfort. Their polos, hoodies, and crew sweatshirts, all classics, made modern with custom-engineered fabrics you have to wear to believe. So versatile, you'll never need to take them off, and so comfortable, you won't want to. It's not just the lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's office leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing.
The information you need and the truth you demand. Start your day with America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday, April 30th. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Stampede at a religious festival in Israel kills dozens. A second North Carolina deputy has died following a standoff in Boone, where a total of 5 people died. U.S. economy boomed in the first quarter. A Stanford University student government member tweeted that, quote, white people need to be eradicated. Disneyland reopens with restrictions today. 6 Alabama players chosen in the first round of the NFL draft, and the 12-year-old graduating from high school and college this month. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, when someone passes away, it doesn't mean Uncle Sam ignores their tax paperwork. In fact, survivors often still have plenty of work to do on behalf of the deceased. Here's how from Jessica Menton, personal finance reporter at USA Today. Jess, what should we know?
It is complicated, and especially in the midst of the pandemic. And unfortunately, when someone passes away, their tax headaches don't die with them. In fact, those obligations can further complicate the lives of survivors because federal estate taxes may be due, and state inheritance taxes could come into play as well. So it's left a lot of people with so many questions, especially with the backdrop of the pandemic. And when it comes to especially filing the final return for a deceased relative, and their taxpayers, that final return typically falls on the executor or an administrator of the estate. And then if either isn't named, then it's taken over by the survivor of the deceased. And those survivors aren't only just stressed out about the complicated tax paperwork, but they're also in mourning. So it leaves them with so many different things that they have to deal with when they already have so many emotions going on during such a stressful time.
All right, so what do you do if you're the surviving spouse?
Right. So the final return is filed on an IRS form 1040, typically what you would normally file with, and it would be used, the same one that would be used if a taxpayer were still alive. The difference is that the deceased is basically written after the taxpayer's name. And if the taxpayer was married, the widow or the widower may file a joint return for the year of death. And for the 2 years following the person's death, the survivor spouse can basically file as a qualifying widow or widower, which would allow them to continue to use the same tax brackets that would apply to being married, filing joint returns.
And then what if, let's say, you're dealing with your parents here, and now one had died previously, now the second one has died. What do you do in that situation?
Right. I had actually spoken with a woman who was in the midst of... She had filed a return for her father who had passed away in 2017. And so she, actually, he passed away in early 2018. So she had to file his return for 2017 and then also for 2018. And she still hasn't received his refund for the year of 2017. She had help with his 2018 return with an estate lawyer, but is still waiting on that final refund, and it's sort of the last loophole that she needs to close when it comes to his estate. And so there's a lot of issues when it comes to the bigger the estate, the more complex it can be, and people potentially waiting years to try to deal with this. And another complication in addition to that is that the pandemic has added this other layer to where she's having a hard time trying to get someone from the IRS on the phone to help her and walk her through it. And originally, she had gotten some progress right before the pandemic had hit early last year. And then once that happened, it sort of created a whole other host of headaches for her, because not only is she calling, but you have millions of others in the midst of questions when it comes to stimulus checks and different tax credits. And so it's really become very complex for people right now.
We're speaking with Jessica Menton, personal finance reporter at USA Today. Her piece is called Americans Grapple with Filing the Final Tax Return for Deceased Relatives in a Pandemic Year. What if one of the, let's say your parents, what if one of your parents owes, but neither parent is now alive anymore?
Right. So that is a big question that has come up a lot. And so what happens is when a decedent owes taxes, the tax bill is supposed to be settled by the decedent's estate executor. And in the event that the decedent has insufficient funds to cover federal income and estate taxes, the relatives aren't responsible for the remaining balance. So I think that's key there as far as who's on the hook for that type of money. And the executor of the estate can be held liable if the executor distributes assets to heirs and beneficiaries before actually paying the taxes, or if the executor pays off other debts of estates before paying tax liabilities. So I think that's really important to keep in mind for people.
Thanks, Jess. Jessica Menton, personal finance reporter at USA Today. Coming up next, confirming the state that has America's best pizza. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness? We're all dealing with a lot right now. I'm sure you feel the same kind of added stress I do. Then you should know about BetterHelp. BetterHelp isn't a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. BetterHelp
will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Start communicating in under 48 hours. Schedule weekly or monthly phone or video sessions or whatever works for you. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. That's why there's a special offer for This Morning with Gordon Deal listeners. 10% off your first month. Visit BetterHelp.com/Gordon. That's BetterHelp.com/Gordon. And join the over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. That's 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with This Morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, more than a year into the pandemic, we've all come to realize that it's sometimes hard to recognize people wearing face masks, and that apparently even goes for super famous celebrities. In a now viral TikTok video, an IHOP waitress has egg on her face after not recognizing comedian Adam Sandler, who came into her New York restaurant looking for a table. Diana Rodas posted a clip of the security footage to TikTok showing a masked Sandler and his daughter asking to get a table, and Rodas telling them that it would be a 30-minute wait. Not wanting to wait a half hour for IHOP, Sandler decides to leave. The video has been watched over 10 million times. Sandler's publicist confirmed to the Huffington Post that the man in the video wearing a North Face hoodie and basketball shorts is indeed him. Rodas, who was obviously a little embarrassed, wrote, "Please come back," to the star in her video caption. Many commenters were quick to defend her, saying that Sandler didn't look like a guy who's reportedly worth over $400 million the way he was dressed. Others had nice things to say about Sandler, applauding him for not trying to use his celebrity to cut the line.
By the way, he may be worth north of $400 million, but that is the way he dresses.
Oh, yeah, all the time. He spends about $15 on his wardrobe.
By the way, what was the woman supposed to do? She feels bad.
Yeah.
She should not feel bad.
Yeah.
There was a 30-minute wait.
Yeah.
He wasn't throwing his weight around.
Right.
And what was she going to do? Walk up to a family of two and say, "Your time is up. Get out. Adam Sandler is here."
Yeah.
That would have been the worst story. So she made the right call.
Right. Well, I'm guessing, you know, when you're in New York, I'm guessing you sort of run into celebrities. There might be a protocol when it comes to when celebrities come in.
And IHOP?
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you try and make, you know, maybe they get to maybe cut the line a little bit.
Yeah.
Again, you know, in maybe not at IHOP, but I believe in other restaurants in New York,
for
that
sure
probably is the case, because they don't want to turn celebrities away and get bad reviews and that kind of
right
thing.
Right. And, you know, Adam Sandler, imagine him calling IHOP and saying, "I'm coming in,
right,
party of two,
right,
find me a seat."
Yeah,
that's going viral, and his reputation gets whacked.
Right.
So all in all, this worked out absolutely perfectly.
No, it did work out
for everybody.
But what you just described probably happens all the time.
Probably.
Maybe not at IHOP again, but people calling ahead and saying, "I'm coming in, make a space for me."
Yes.
That happens all the time
right
in New York.
But at least then nobody knowingly is being displaced.
Right.
Right. And the restaurant gets to take part in the
publicity
or whatever.
Gotcha. So all's well that ends well.
Right. At IHOP.
And it's Friday, just hours from pizza night at the Deal House. And good news for Gordon and family, a major food publication has confirmed what they already know, that New Jersey is the best state for pizza in the country. Food and Wine magazine has published its list of the top states for pizza, and New Jersey has come out on top. Senior editor David Lanzel is especially impressed with what's happening in Jersey City, right across the Hudson River from New York City, but also cited other noteworthy locations crisscrossing the state. Not surprisingly, the New Jersey official Twitter account weighed in, tweeting, "Fact check, true," in all caps. Runners up to the Garden State were predictable if you've been listening to us talk pizza here: Connecticut, New York, Illinois, and Michigan. And the Midwest isn't cheated, with two more states making the top 10, Ohio and Missouri. California was the only West Coast state to crack the top 10 of the list.
Ohio and Missouri? Seriously?
Yeah. Well, Missouri, St. Louis has its own style of pizza. That's kind of the trend here, is if you're you have a city that has its own style of pizza, that seems to put you up further on this list. Missouri has its own style with the squares. They cut them in the squares, and that's a specific style just for St. Louis.
I'm giving you my eye roll emoji right now.
I'm just explaining.
I have five,
not condoning, just explaining.
I have five pizza places just off the top of my head within a mile of me.
Oh, yeah.
Of my house.
You can't throw a rock without hitting a pizza place in New Jersey.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for spending time with us. Don't forget, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, and you can follow me directly on Twitter at Gordon Deal. As you may know, India has seen a cataclysmic coronavirus surge over the past week. The spike in infections has led to deadly shortages of oxygen, ambulances, and hospital beds. As India's healthcare system buckles under the pressure, The Washington Post listed some organizations that are providing relief if you'd like to help. One is UNICEF. The UN agency, among other things, is helping ensure public bathrooms in densely populated neighborhoods are regularly sanitized. Number two, the Indian Red Cross. Volunteers are handing out masks, food, and hygiene supplies in both rural and urban areas. Three, Rapid Response, the India-based disaster relief agency, supplying staple foods such as rice, lentils, sugar, and salt to vulnerable communities, including migrant laborers, frontline workers, and the elderly. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A stampede at a Jewish religious gathering in northern Israel killed at least 44 people and injured some 150 others early today. About 100,000 people were crowded near Mount Meron before the stampede to celebrate a holiday popular with ultra-Orthodox Jews. Families were being notified and the bodies were being taken to a single location for identification.
Number two.
One day after President Biden called for Congress to deliver compromise legislation on policing reform to his desk by May 25th, the families of victims of police violence met with key lawmakers on Capitol Hill and went to the White House to talk about moving legislation forward. Attorney Ben Crump.
We are optimistic that as President Biden encouraged us to try to have this George Floyd Act passed before May 25th. The one-year anniversary.
Family members met with lawmakers, including Republican Senators Tim Scott and Lindsey Graham, and Democrat Cory Booker.
Number three.
Seven college students at Bowling Green State University in Ohio and another man have been indicted in the alcohol-related death of a 20-year-old who was found unconscious after a frat party. Prosecutors say Stone Fultz died 3 days after he and other fraternity pledges were encouraged to drink at a March 4th party. Wood County Prosecutor Paul Dobson.
The autopsy indicated that Stone died from fatal alcohol intoxication during a hazing event with a blood alcohol content of 0.35, over four times the legal limit.
A grand jury indicted the eight on charges ranging from involuntary manslaughter to hazing. Five people have been arrested and charged in shooting Lady Gaga's dog walker and stealing two of her French bulldogs in February. Three suspects have been charged with attempted murder and robbery and two as accessories after the initial crime. One of the alleged accessories is 50-year-old Jennifer McBride, who returned the singer's dogs to police 2 days after the armed robbery. Amazon's pandemic boom isn't showing any signs of slowing down. The company's quarterly profit more than tripled from a year ago as the online retailer posted revenue of more than $100 billion. Earnings per share came in at $15.79, $6 more than expected. Amazon plans to hold Prime Day, its popular sales event, before the end of June.
What numbers. Holy cow. Thank you, Jen. Coming up next, stunning accomplishments for a North Carolina 12-year-old. When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you're talking to someone who isn't waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud, and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. How about this? A 12-year-old boy from North Carolina is preparing multiple cap and gown ceremonies later this month. Mike Wimmer of Salisbury made quite the use of his spare time during the pandemic, taking extra classes, and will graduate high school and college in the same week. He has a 4.0 GPA at Rowan Cabarrus Community College and a 5.45 GPA at Concord Academy High School, earning him the role of class valedictorian. In perhaps the understatement of the year, he told WNCN Television, "I went through all the grades in school at a faster pace. I take in knowledge very fast." He ended up completing the equivalent of 2 years of high school and 2 years of community college classes in a single year. Young Mike says his lifelong interest in technology and robots led him to create his own startup called Reflect Social, which aims to simplify how smart home technology works. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.